Now, this discourse, this moment, which is, it's not the one which is in the Dvar Malchut this week, it's another one, and it is from 1987. And it is about the counting of the Omer. So it's a discourse about the counting of the Omer. So I'd just like to preface, before we actually go into the discourse, just to say a few words about the counting of the Omer. And in order to do that, we're going to look at this picture that I often show of the spheres. The attributes of the divine, which I think you're able to see. And the point is particularly these seven spherot: Chesed, kindness, Gvura, severity, Teferet, which is also called Rachamim, which means mercy, Netzach, victory over adversity or endurance, Hod, submission to God, acceptance, Yesod, dedication, and then comes fulfillment, kingship, the feminine. And it's as if these three, these six sfirot, then connect with the last one, and that's the seven divine emanations. Now, the point is, between Pesach and Shavuot, there are 7 weeks. And there's a mitzvah to count the Omer, to count the weeks and to count the days, to count the 49 days. And each time one counts, so one counts so and so many days, which is so and so many weeks and so many days. So at the moment, the day that we're in, not the one that we're coming to, but the day that we're in has been, and you see, it goes by the order of the Sfirot. So we are in the week of Hod, of submission, because it's the 5th week. And today is the third day of the week. So that's 1, 2, 3, which is Tiferet, or Rachamim, mercy. So it's Tiferet also translates as glory. So it's this aspect of that aspect, because each of these seven has got all the other seven inside it. So in each one, so in Chesed, in kindness, you've got kindness of kindness, severity of kindness, mercy of kindness, victory in kindness, and so on. Each one of those, and there's a whole explanation how those relate to our actual emotions as people, in relating to other people, in relating to God, in God relating to us. And so we are going through the 7 weeks of the Omer, preparing for the giving of the Torah. So that is like a little introduction, and we will then be able to start the actual discourse. So we're going to sing the Maimah melody. Oh, ya, 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 yom, bom. Oh, ya, 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 yom, bom, bom. Oh, ya, 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 yom, bom. Ho ye de dum ba, ho ye de dum bum bum. Oh ho ya ye de dum ba yum ba yo ya ye de dum ba yum ba yum yum ba de dum ba yum ba de dum ba. Oh ya yum ba ye de dum bum. Oh ya ya ho de dum bum. Oh ya ya ho ya ya ho. Okay. So let's have a look now at the discourse, right? So this is this discourse from 5747, 1987. The Havin, to understand, let's see if I can make it a bit bigger, right? To understand the idea, Inyan Sfirata Omer, the idea of counting the Omer. Inyan Sfirata Omer, now concerning the counting of the Omer, Yeshnam kama biorim bedrushim. In Hasidic teachings, there are a number of different explanations. So we'll go to line five. One explanation is be'a echad she'avodat sfirat ha'omer yesh ba shnei akavim. The service of counting the omer has in it the two aspects: the sumera, turn aside from evil, the asei tov, and do good. Now that is a verse which is in Psalms. But it's a very important verse. And in fact, each of the explanations, it's going to give three different explanations of the counting of the Omer and what the counting of the Omer means. And each one of them links with one of these, with an aspect of this same verse, turn aside from evil and do good. So that's the focus, turn aside from evil and do good. Sounds, one of the questions is, what is the definition of good and the definition of evil? And for the Torah Jew, you could say, for the Rebbe who's teaching this discourse, the Torah, our sacred Torah, defines good and evil. It talks about the way that human beings are made in the divine image and human life is sacred. And marriage is sacred, and many aspects of life are important, and one has to have respect in relating to them. Property is important. You can't take someone else's property, can't take someone else's wife or anything. So this whole concept, this kind of concept is really presented in the Ten Commandments. And so there are commandments between one person and another, and there are also commandments in relation to the divine, the individual and the divine. Like keep the Sabbath is a command in relation to God. So this idea of turn away from bad and do good, there is a text, there is a prayer that people say after counting the Omer. They say a prayer that begins, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe. And we ask there, let me just get the text. I should really have looked for a digital version to share with you on the screen. So I'm just going to find the actual text. So what we're asking God is that through the counting of the Omer, through this counting of the Omer, which happens every night, and last night we counted 31 days, which was 4 weeks and 3 days. And so tonight people will be able to count the next number. So it says that through the merit of counting the Omer, God should purify us, he should cleanse us and purify us. And what the discourse is focusing on is that means cleansing us from anything negative. So anything negative, we might have some bad habit or bad thoughts that we might have had, we should be cleansed from that. And Ulekadshenu, and to sanctify us in the upper holiness. So that's what it's quoting over here, that the counting of the Omer is in order to purify us from negative things, which means like negative thoughts or speech or action, and also to sanctify us in a supernal kind of holiness, which means but that is positive things that we do. To become sanctified means we're doing positive things. Until we reach Adla Tachlit HaShlemut Shebezeh, until we reach ultimate wholeness. And that's the idea of the doing of good. So by sanctifying us with holiness, we come to the ultimate holiness, which is that we do good all the time, I think. And that's what it means, the service of the counting of the days of counting the Omer is like this, with these two extremes of turn away from bad and do good. And so it's a combination of both. And that is what we're doing. That's what we're trying to do during these 7 weeks of the counting of the Omer. In other words, it's an opportunity for us to sort of give ourselves a little check. Are we doing as much as we can in the positive way? Are we keeping away as much as we can from negative things according to the Torah? And in order to evaluate what we're doing and how we're doing it, the Rebbe spoke about the 10 mitzvah campaigns. And one can use them as a kind of a thermometer, a check sheet, in order to see how one is doing. The 10 campaigns are: one is love of one's fellow, the other one is concern, the next one is concern for Jewish education, for one's own children, for other people's children, helping Jewish education along. Then there's the idea of studying Torah, which is a very valuable thing all the time, both for men and for women. Then there's the idea of putting on tefillin, the mitzvah of tefillin for men every weekday. And a boy, Noah, when you get to bar mitzvah, you will also hopefully have a pair of tefillin to put on, right, Sarah? We'll try and organize that. That will be a wonderful thing. And so that's something very important. Then we have having kosher mezuzahs on one's home, on one's doors. Now, on the doors of one's home, there should be kosher mezuzahs. The mezuzah is a beautiful little parchment scroll written by a scribe. Every so often, one should check them to make sure the ink hasn't run or faded. And then we have giving of charity, and we had, which is a continuously very important thing. A house full of books, having Jewish books in one's home. It's true now you can download things, you can have them all on lots of things on a Kindle, but or just on the web. But it's nice having real books as well. You know, there's having a real book. That's you know, that's something. You know, that's something one can pick up on Shabbat and use. And then there are three mitzvot specially to do with women. And the first is lighting Shabbat candles. And for little girls, that's lighting a candle till when they get married. Later on, they'll light two candles. Kashrut of food. And finally, the family purity, which means going to mikveh. So those are like 10 aspects of life, and we can measure ourselves according to those 10 aspects of life. Are we keeping away from the negative in the right way, or are we doing the positive in the right way? So that's the first approach to the counting of the Omer. It's a time when we sort of go through a process of self-evaluation. Now comes Biosheni, now the second explanation of the counting of the Omer. This focuses on just the turn away from the negative. It's according to this opinion, the whole thing is getting away from the negative. Why? Because now we learn this from something it says in the Zohar. You see, the Zohar has a very beautiful section where it is talking about the giving of the Torah, and it explains, although it might not be this that it's quoting over here, let me just check. I think it is. And it talks there about the way the Jewish people prepared for the giving of the Torah. Now, it says there, the mitzvah of counting the Omer, these 7 weeks, and you know, each week has 7 days, is like the mitzvah of a woman counting, a woman who's had her monthly period. She then a married woman, and then she counts a certain number of days, and then she starts counting what's called clean days, Sfirat Zayin Nekiyim, counting 7 clean days when there's no blood, but then, and she counts that, and then she is ready to be united with her husband after going to the mikvah. And that is a very, very spiritual thing. It's a very strong thing in Jewish marriage, a very important thing, and in Jewish life. So the mitzvah of counting the Omer is like us, the Jewish people, counting these days in order to be purified to God, so that we can unite with God with the giving of the Torah. And so that means we're climbing up out of something which is spiritually negative. Of course, in the case of the woman, it's simply that's how God created human beings, that there is this process, but it makes the difference that she is not able to be with her husband at that time. And there's certain aspects of purity and impurity which applied in the time of the temple where that makes a difference. It's not something that makes a difference mostly in our general life today. So this counting of the 7 days, so the difference is that the mitzvah of counting the 7 days for a woman is only 7 days. Whereas in the counting of the Omer, it's 7 weeks, and each week has 7 days, which is 49 days. Because we are purifying the whole Jewish people as a preface to the revelation of the giving of the Torah. So that's an amazing thing. We're going through these 7 weeks and the 7 days in each week. We are steadily, steadily purifying ourselves in order to unite with God at the giving of the Torah. And that will be a fantastic thing. This year, the first day of Shavuot is on a Sunday. And if we can be in the synagogue on that day and hear the Ten Commandments being read, it's a tremendously intense bonding of the individual Jew with God. It's a very special thing. Now, the idea of counting these 7 clean days, when we consider it in terms of a woman purifying herself for a husband, till the woman has actually finished counting these 7 clean days, and she's then dipped in a mikveh, a dying nashevet bilti Torah, she is impure until she's finished that process. She is not pure for her husband, the same way at the very first moment she wasn't pure for her husband. And the Rambam writes about it, and it's brought in the code of law as well. Only after finishing the 7 clean days, then is it possible to have that unity with her husband in such a way that v'hayu levasa echad, they become one flesh. In other words, true intimacy. So therefore, she's all the time, the counting of the 7 days, in this aspect, she is counting in order to go from a state of impurity to a state of purity, which happens bang when she goes to the mikveh. Now, an unmarried woman, a girl or whatever, this does not apply in practice. And only in the time of the temple would it make a difference. And then men and women would be going to the mikveh much more often, because there are all kinds of things to do with the temple. You can't come into the temple when you're not pure and things like that. We're all considered impure from the dead, by the way. And that is something when Mashiach comes, we will have to be attended to purify us from that. So, but in our time today, a person doesn't have to think of themselves in any way as impure. It's just simply in terms of if a woman is married, then she cannot be intimate with her husband. Now, from this we understand, if we're looking at it this way and we're taking our cue from the Zohar, that the Zohar says the counting of the Omer is like a woman counting the 7 days. But so is the same thing with the counting of the Omer, lefi ofan zeh, in the same way. Shekol avodah, that the whole service of counting the Omer, hu b'shlilat ha'inyanim ha'bilti yitzuyim, is in getting rid of the negative things. Sumera, turn away from bad. So in other words, the whole process of counting the omer is turning away from bad. Before we looked at it as a mixture, a bit turning away from bad, a bit doing good. Here we're looking at it just from this one angle. Turn away from bad means escaping from different kinds of negativity and impurity. And only after completing the counting and the purification doesn't mean the physical purification of going to the mikveh. It means the spiritual inner dimension. What are our thoughts? What are our speech? What are our actions? That's a whole sort of looking at ourselves with a critical eye and trying to rescue ourselves, lift ourselves up from certain kinds of negative attitude or behavior or habit that each individual maybe knows in themselves. Sometimes an individual will say, as the Talmud tells us, there are some people who say, I'm perfect. There's nothing at all that I have to improve. Well, there are lots of Jewish movements today, whether it's Hasidism or the Muslim movement, other movements as well, which will say, you know, if you look with a little bit of a magnifying glass or a clear sighted look, it won't be so simple. Although it is true that it is more common in a way to find the flaws in the what one has not done, which was a possible opportunity and one didn't do it. So it's the, which really is the doing of good and not doing good the way it should have been. But it's holding back from doing something we could have done, missing an opportunity. Or in bridge language, missing a trick, right? So sometimes a person misses a trick and there it is. They had an opportunity and they missed it. So therefore, after completing the whole process of purification through this 49 days, as ba inyan da aseh tov sheba matan Torah, then comes the doing of good, which is at the giving of the Torah. Then there's this tremendous revelation of the giving of the Torah on Sunday, Shavuot, whatever it is, it's a day in June, I believe. Then we will have that unity with God at the giving of the Torah. Now, v'chein muvan, now this can also be understood gam mehamavoah, from what has been explained by the sages and in Hasidic teachings, she'inyan sfirat ha'omer, the idea of counting the omer, hu behemshech lahava'at ha'omer haba misorim dafka. The counting of the omer relates to a certain offering that was brought in the temple. The offering was made of barley. And we brought the offering in the temple, and it comes from barley. And that barley offering is like k'mo minchat sota. Now, the sota is a woman who, unfortunately, her husband got jealous because she would talk a lot to a certain man and she would hide away with him. And, you know, the husband would come home and she and this man, they're just coming out of the cellar or the basement or from somewhere. What are you doing, he said. And he said, please don't hide away with this man. And don't do it. It's not right. And then another time she does it again. Again, she's, you know, they're coming out of the attic together. So what have they done in the attic? Did they make love? Had she been unfaithful to her husband? So there's a whole thing which the Torah describes, and there's a tractate of Talmud about it, which is that she brings an offering of barley and she drinks some water, and the water assets it with dust from the sanctuary, and the water assesses whether or not she has actually been unfaithful to her husband. So that is really the state of the individual. Have we been unfaithful to God? And so in a sense, we are going through the same process. We brought an offering of barley, which is the omer offering. The omer is really a measure, like a liter. So we brought the measure of barley, and now we're counting the 49 days after that. Meshum she'avodat b'nei Yisrael b'zman hazeh, because the service of the Jewish people at this time, he be'beiru nefesh ha'bahamid, is through sifting and purifying our animal soul. D'zeh ma'asheh se'orim u'machol behema. And another hint to that is the fact that this offering of barley, whether it's the offering for the whole Jewish people at the beginning of the Omer period, or the offering that the Sota lady brings in the temple, that is, barley is considered by the sages machu behema. It's called animal food. Of course, there are many people, you know, chicken soup with barley is a famous East End Jewish dish made famous by Arnold Wesker. And but it was famous before him as well. But it's nonetheless barley compared with wheat is considered animal food. And we regard ourselves, the Jewish people as a whole in spiritual terms, like this wife suspected, God forbid, of infidelity. Now, you see, the interesting thing with her is that once she drinks this water and she's shown to be pure, then she flourishes. It's something very, very positive. After completing the whole ceremony, then she's permitted to her husband, and the Talmud gives all kinds of positive descriptions about how she will be, it'll be easier for her to give birth and other things. The mizeh muvan, from which we understand, she calls man shadayin lo nishlama berur, so long that the sifting hasn't been achieved fully, it's a matter of going away from evil, and it's all steps away from evil. So we've looked at these two interpretations, both based on the same verse, turn away from bad and do good. And so one explanation is that the time of counting the Omer is both turning away from bad and doing good. And the other explanation is that it is just a matter of turning away from bad and slowly, slowly stepping away from the negative in our lives, in our words, in our thoughts, and improving ourselves. Now, we still have the third explanation to go. The third explanation is going to be that it's all talking about the positive. See, let's turn away from bad and do good. So we had turning away from bad and doing good together. Then we just had, it's all about turning away from bad. And then the third position, it's all about doing good. So we're going to come to that in a minute. But at this second, is there any comment anyone would like to make, any response? Would Rabbi Lumak like to make a comment?
I'm listening, not at the moment. I hear, you know, it's very beautifully explained.
Thank you. Okay. Sarah, how are you getting on with it? Does it make sense?
Yes, it's wonderful, and it makes perfect sense, actually. I didn't realize how much the Omer was so important. But it actually all fits into place. Everything you're saying, it makes perfect sense. You have to go through the purification, accepting you've done wrong, and get the reward, please God, and try and correct.
Right, very beautiful, yeah.
Thank you.
Anyone else, any other comment? Chesed? Any question? Okay.
Rabbi Jeffrey, good evening.
Yes, good evening, Jeffrey.
Good evening. The drinking of the water, could you just...
Look, Jeffrey, let's just take the focus of the discourse, yeah? So what we're doing is looking at the counting of the Omer, you know, and so it's different ways of looking at it. And one way of looking at it is we are both trying to improve by getting rid of negative and increasing positive. And the other way is focusing on all the negative things that we can leave behind. Yeah, so it's like a different way of looking at it. Now we're going to look at all the positive things we can reach up to. Yeah.
Okay.
Eleanor, are you okay?
Yeah. Yes. I think I'm just struck. I've been struck more this year by the intensity of the experience counting Yoma than I have in any previous year, and I'm curious to know why that is, but these shirim are helping.
Okay, but they help with that. All right, so let's go back to the text. Right, so this is line 13, which is on the page Vav, page 6 of the discourse. Uveya shlishi, now there's a third explanation found in Hasidic teaching. Sha'avodah desfirat ha'omer, that the service of counting the omer hu rak b'kavd aseto. It's only on the line of doing good. Now the Rebbe quotes a very interesting philosophical comment by the Rambam. We're just coming up at this moment to the worldwide study of the Rambam's Mishneh Torah and Book of the Commandments. This is the great halachic work of the Rambam, where he goes through all the laws of the Talmud, rearranges them in a very clear way in 14 different books, in 83 different sections, and in a wonderful way, in a very clear way, presents the law for every topic. And so the Rebbe launched in 1984, he launched worldwide study of this Mishneh Torah, this book by the Rambam, by Maimonides, who lived in the 12th century in Egypt, having been born in Spain. And he launched it in such a way that men study it, women study it, you know, like there's three chapters a day, one chapter a day, or a much shorter thing from another book by the Rambam, the Book of Commandments. And we're just coming up to the conclusion of that. On Lag BaOmer, on Thursday, it's Wednesday, just before, it's going to be the conclusion of this tremendous work, and we're going to be beginning again. So anyone who wants to join on the bandwagon, as it were, of study of Maimonides, it's a wonderful thing to do. There's an app one can get, which will give the Book of the Commandments in English every day, so that you can read like a few lines of the different commandments, because he wrote a book going through all the 613 commandments and just pointing out which verse in the Torah they come from and the basic thing, what they mean. And by studying that at the same rate that the people are learning the three chapters of Rambam every day, one goes through all the 613 mitzvot every year. So it's a very beautiful thing to do. We're just coming up to that, and it's warmly to be recommended. Now, here the Rebbe is quoting a book by the Rambam, which is his philosophical book, Moreh Nevuchim, the Guide for the Perplexed. And so it says in Guide for the Perplexed, a kind of philosophical idea. If you find some substance which is made up of, let's say, two different substances in it, the yimtza, and then you find echad mishnei advarim bifnei atzmo, you find one of those two things, those two substances, isolated, chutz min hadavar hu hamorkav, outside the blend, mitchayev, it must be mitziyut ha'acher, that you will find also the other substance, behechle chutz min hadavar hu, outside the blended thing, hamorkav kamken. And so that is something you must find. So in other words, if you have good and bad mixed together, like we have in this verse, turn away from bad and do good. So you've got both bad and good. Then we had one focus, which focuses just on the bad. So it must be, according to the Rambam, looking in this sort of philosophical, logical way, you can focus just on good. We just focused on bad, but you can just as well focus just on good. And that's what the Rebbe is doing. And this we can understand in this topic. Since we found a way of describing what is the work of counting the Omer, what does it really mean for the person? It's made up of the two kinds of service. One is turn away from bad, the other one is do good. And then we found that there is a second approach, which focuses on the bad, keep away from bad. And so, like the idea that the Zohar presented of the woman who's being purified, so that's all focusing on being purified from a negative state. If so, mitchayev sheyeh gam ba'ofen ba'avodat tzvirat ha'omer, must be that there's an approach in understanding the counting of the Omer, shekol kulahi bekav da'aseh tov, that the whole thing is focusing on doing good, bilvad, exclusively. So the Rebbe's used this sort of philosophical proof to show that there must be a third approach to counting the Omer, where the whole thing is going from positive to positive to positive. And you can suggest that the explanation of this is al pi ha'mavor v'drushei chasidut, as it says in Hasidic teachings. Now we're going to compare what the Jewish people are like when they went out of Egypt, and also what they're like at another time of the year. Now, Shabbat Yitzir Mitzrayim, at the time of going out of Egypt, Hayu Yisrael Bifchinat Tzadikim, the Jewish people were like Tzadikim, fully righteous people. And especially since V'ger Shenitkayer K'katan Shenolad Dami, when a proselyte becomes a proselyte, they are like a child who has been born at that moment, and it's totally pure, doesn't have any negativity whatsoever. And we, the Jewish people, when we came to Mount Sinai, it's as if we all became proselytes to Judaism. At that moment, we all became proselytes to Judaism, so we were tremendously pure. And that means that for the Jewish people at this stage, they didn't have to worry about turning away from bad. They weren't involved with bad. The whole service that they had was, they were trying to do good. And it's that doing of good which is the whole focus. Going from one level to another, Bikdusha gufa, in holiness. So that's the concept of going from level to level to level, always in a level of good, but a deeper kind of good, a higher kind of good, a more profound kind of good. And now in the brackets, we're going to contrast the time of Pesach with the time of the month of Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and it's explained elsewhere. The service of the month of Nisan and the following weeks leading to the giving of the Torah, and the sort of opposite service of the month of Tishrei when we have Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The avodat chodesh Tishrei, because the service in the month of Tishrei, he avodat ha-tshuva, is the service of repentance. The Baal Tshuva Suhora, a person who's repenting has to keep away from the negative thing he was involved in, right? If someone was an alcoholic, unfortunately he drank more and he drank more and it really began ruining his life. And finally he said, okay, I'm going to stop drinking altogether. Then he is advised, stop drinking altogether, not one sip, keep off it. That's when it comes to Kiddush on Shabbat, make Kiddush on the challah. You can make Kiddush on challah. Say exactly the same words like the Kiddush, and then say the blessing on bread for the challah. So if you haven't got Jewish kosher wine. And for the alcoholic, he might be advised, keep away from alcohol altogether. And so that is the quality of going out of a Baal Tshuva, a repentant person. And so therefore, the repentant person, he has to be very careful keeping away from any negative things. And that relates to the month of Tishri, the month of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Masha'en kein avodat chodesh Nisan, where is the service of the month of Nisan, of the time of Pesach? He avodat hatzadikim. That's, the sages tell us, that is the service of the righteous, aseh tov bilvad, and we're going level by level in doing good. And the Rebbe says that you can suggest that's like the service de la'atid levo, in the future, in the world to come, but in this world. And then God will remove the spirit of impurity from the earth, and our service of God will be going from level to level in holiness, as it says in Tanya, and it's explained elsewhere at length. So we will be going from level to level in holiness. It won't be a matter of struggling with the bad, the way it very often is now. It'll be this level is good and that other level is good. Maybe that other level is better. And so it'll be one kind of good versus another kind of good. It won't be good versus bad. It will be good versus good. And that's also the idea of counting the Omer, which means going step by step in the realm of holiness. And also it says in the Midrash that the idea of counting the Omer is because the yearning of the Jewish people, when they came out of Egypt, they knew it had to do with going to Mount Sinai and getting the Torah. And they were very excited to do this. And they were literally counting the days until they got to Mount Sinai. And that's what it means, that the whole idea of counting the Omer is a completely positive thing and a preparation for the giving of the Torah. Now, I just want to pause this. So this is really, you know, we're being given a choice. You know, we can take it this way, we can take it that way. For one person, he or she might say, you know what, I can see that there are problematic things I have to get away from. I can see that there are beautiful things I have to try and get involved in. And so I'm going to take the first explanation, going away from negative things on the one hand, getting involved with positive things on the other. Another person might say, you know what, my problem is, I'm really, you know, there are all kinds of negative habits, negative this, negative that. I'm going to struggle to get rid of these negative things. I'm going to train myself out of them. And so I'm going to use these weeks of the Omer in order to improve myself in that way, stopping doing all those negative things, whether it's in action or speech or thought, but to try and get away from it. And another person might feel, look, the imperative is doing good, and I'm trying to do good, but I want to try and do good better. And so what can I do in order to do good better, and tries to do it more and do it more. And so you can see the way in the life of the person, these three possibilities that the Rebbe's just mapped out, that could be the way the person goes about their life. Is that an understandable goal? Is that something realizable by this esteemed group? What do people think? Is it something real? Liran? All the way in Israel, in Netanya, I think. Okay. Eleanor, what do you think?
I ask a question?
Yes, Sophia, if it's on the topic. Yeah.
Of course, of course. You're relating the fact that we count the Omer and Nissen and how, you know, Nissen were in service, and you're also mentioning Tishrei. And I was wondering, is there a link? Because obviously Nisan is the first month of the year, but Tishrei is the beginning of the year. Am I making sense? So I was just wondering if there's any correlation with that and the Omer.
Well, the point is that Nisan is, I mean, when we look at it in that way, comparing Nisan and Tishrei, so then Nisan, the Jewish people, are innocent in this sense. They come to the giving of the Torah, they're pure, and they are going towards the giving of the Torah, and they are regarded one, it's one branch of Midrash which looks at them in this way, and they're pure. Whereas Tishrei, you call it the beginning of the year, it's also in a sense the end of the year. A person is thinking over what they did during the year, and they're trying to repent from the negative things and come closer to God. So it's, and that is affected through Rosh Hashanah, the 10 days of Tshuva, and then Yom Kippur. So, so it's different perspectives on the service of a person. What this is really telling us is that in our relationship with the divine, these different periods of the year are very, very important for us to try to think about them in an internal way, that we should strive to be bettering ourselves in one way or the other, trying to improve our spiritual dimension. So let's come back to the discourse.
Go ahead, thank you.
Now, according to the first approach that we cited right at the beginning of the discourse, that it's got these two kinds of service together. Turning aside from bad and doing good. So one can say that because of this, Sfira Ta'oma itself is an intermediary between the going out of Egypt and the giving of the Torah. Those are like two points, and the counting of the Omer is in the middle. Because when the Jewish people were in Egypt, so they were in Egypt. One second, I'm just checking where we are in the discourse. When they were in Egypt, the Jewish people were very low. And at the time of the giving of the Torah, they were very high. And from that, we can understand that the service in between is the kind of intermediary in the preparation to go from the going out of Egypt when we were very low to the giving of the Torah. And so therefore, it's got both these things. It's got the idea of going out of the negative of Egypt, turn away from bad. And there's also the preparation of the tremendous revelation of the giving of the Torah, which is Aseh Tov, doing good. So there we have another perspective on this first way of understanding. Now, from the fact that in Hasidic teachings, these three approaches are depicted in terms of the counting of the Omer, the turn away from bad and doing good, and the two of them together, we can understand that these three approaches, they all apply in the service of counting the Omer. So there's like three different interpretations. So the individual can say, yes, this one applies here, that one applies there. We can operate all of them. And that means this is in the counting of the Omer, which is there every single day. And further, now, counting of the Omer is between Pesach and Shavuot. But the Rebbe now takes it further. It's not only then, it could be any time of year. And that's what he says, line 13. Now, further point. This is, in fact, not something dependent on time. The fact that a person counts, the actual counting of the Omer, the physical counting, it's an eternal thing, because every single mitzvah makes an eternal unity above, as it explains in Tanya. In other words, every mitzvah is a kind of giving of the Torah. Every single mitzvah, when we do the mitzvah, we're bonding with God. And similarly, the mitzvah of the counting of the Omer, well, one second. Every mitzvah has an eternal dimension to it. So the counting of the Omer is a mitzvah. And it's not, and so the Rebbe is pointing out that it's got an eternal dimension, which takes it out of the specific months that we're in between Nisan and Iyar and Sivan, and it has to do with Pesach and Shavuot. It could be any time of the year, anywhere, because this is something which is significant on a permanent level, because every mitzvah has got a permanent dimension to it. But Nimsa, that comes out, that these three types of service whether it's turned away from bad and doing good, whether it's two separate things or the way they are together, they are the service of every individual Jew, tamid, always. You see that word? It's always our service. Could be the middle of December. It's always our service. And not only that, this applies specifically, line 22, Gam l'neshei Yisrael, to Jewish women. It particularly applies to Jewish women, because Gam hem shaychus l'achana l'matan Torah. The women also, it's very important that they should be able to prepare for the giving of the Torah. And in fact, Nashim kadmu l'anashim, the women come before the men. As it says, when God is speaking about the giving of the Torah, he says, this is what you should say to the house of Jacob, and the sages comment, that means the women. After that, it says what you should say, and it uses a harder word, like a stronger word, for saying, Hagid, Livnei Israel, to the men. To the men. So in other words, but it's the women who come first in this communication of Torah. When we're talking about love and fear of God, which are continuous mitzvah of the Torah, there's some mitzvah which are only at certain times. But the mitzvah of love of God and of fear, awe of God, is something permanent. It's there all the time. It's been defined at that by a great sage, lived a long time ago, and wrote a book where he explains which mitzvah are permanently significant, and love of God and fear of God are two of them. And therefore, says the Rebbe, as that author does nearly 1,000 years ago, in a book called, what's it called, Rabbeinu? What's the name of the book?
Which book?
The where it's got the list of all the mitzvot according to the Sedra of the Torah.
The Chinuch?
Yes, Sefer Chinuch, the book of education. Yeah, it's written around the time of the Rambam Maimonides, 12th, 13th century, and it gives all the mitzvot in the Torah in the order of the Sedras. And it also discusses which mitzvot apply to who. And there it talks about the mitzvot which apply all the time to every man and woman. And that includes the mitzvahs of love and awe of God. And so therefore, this whole process is very relevant to women, says the Rebbe. So this idea all the time of this sort of, this sort of self-evaluation, is something which is relevant to women as well as to men. Now, the Avodah, in the service of counting the Omer itself in these three ways, the effect of it is Gilui Or, it's revelation of light. As it explains a number of places, that when it says about counting the Omer, it says, Usafatem Lachem, you should count the Omer. So this, you should count the Omer, this word of Safatem. Now, there's a number of ways of understanding and translating this. Safatem can mean count, but also there's another phrase in the book of Psalms, Hashamayim Mesaprim Kvod Keil, the heavens tell the glory of God. And the Zohar explains that verse to mean, Dahainu Narin Natsitsin, the heavens shine. The heavens shine and glitter, and that's why they are telling the glory of God. They're shining with the glory of God. And that means that all the idea of the mitzvah, whether keeping away from bad or doing good, and the joining them together, all of them come from the radiance and the sparkling and purity of clarity of divine radiance. So when we keep mitzvah, and we keep away from negative activities against the Torah, so we are actually increasing in our own spiritual radiance. And that's why it's like Sfirat HaOmer, the counting, the making beautiful, the bringing out the radiance within. V'yetero Mizu, line 5, even more, Shabihirut Srihaliot Nikaret Bagashmiut Leenibasa. This radiance, it's not just a spiritual radiance. It should be visible to human eyes. A person who is enthusiastic about the Torah and keeps Torah in a proper way and keeps, you know, avoids all the negative things the Torah warns against. For many people, you can see it shining out of that person. There's a kind of a holiness, there's a warmth, there's a beautiful quality, whether it's a man or a woman, that shines out of this person. Now, the Rebbe tells a story that from the Friedrich Rebbe, from the previous Rebbe, and the story itself comes from this same word. Sipur is like radiance, like the heavens tell, the heavens shine, and so telling a story is itself a kind of radiance in itself. Rabbi Lu, who's with us, is a world-famous storyteller, telling stories, true stories, about the Lubavitcher Rebbe and many other stories about Hasidic life and things that happen and in a very profound way. Now, so that idea that the story itself is something shiny. So the story was, it was about one of the Hasidim of the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, the author of Tanya, back around the year 1800. And there was money that had been collected from the Hasidim, and he brought it to the Rebbe. The only thing is, I think it's telling it in a brief way here, and I think the thing is that the man's wife saw this pile of money that he was going to bring to the Rebbe, and she saw that many of the coins were a bit discolored. So she sat up all night cleaning the coins so that they all shone in a most beautiful way. And so as if they had only just now come from the mint. And this was his wife who was doing it, as the story goes. And so there the previous Rebbe brings a statement from the Rebbe, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek, about this idea of counting. Usafatem lachem. It says about counting the omer, you should count for yourselves. So that means it's a mitzvah. Each individual has to count the omer themselves. It's not just like something that the Bet Din counts the omer on behalf of everyone. Each person has to count the omer themselves, which is what happens in Jewish life. But he is reinterpreting these words. You should count for yourself. You should make yourself radiant. We have to make sure that you yourself are shining. And so the whole process of the counting the omer is to make each individual shine. And so the connection is that the idea of the shining and the light which comes through the mitzvah has to come through in the physical life of the person, the same way that the coins are shining and sparkling. And so much so that this shining is visible even in the money of a person, which in a sense, the money is like, it's the lowest dimension. It's the dimension, you need money. But it's that which makes a person stand up on their own feet. As the sages say, they talk about the idea of a person's wealth that makes him stand up on his feet. And through that, the head also is lifted up. And so through that, also that money, that dimension, that lowest, in a sense, most earthly person, most earthly aspect of the person has to be something radiant and shining. And that's what we're trying to do during the days and weeks of counting the omer. And that is in addition to the idea of Mesaprim Kvod Kael, the way the heavens are telling the glory of God, that we're adding through this process of us shining more, we're adding more to the glory of God. And similarly to be understood in all the different kinds of service that the person does. In Judaism, they have to be in a way of radiance, shining, and joy, the simcha. And all this has to be recognizable also in our physical aspect. It's not just a matter of something which is in our spiritual minds and it's hidden away, but it has to be something which shines out of it. And the Rebbe ends with the blessing, may it be the will of Hashem, that through us making the effort in all this, then there is a concept that charity is very great, that it brings closely redemption. Now, there's a number of different phrases about God, that God scattered the Jewish people among the nations of the world. And one of the ways of describing that is, you know what, it was very charitable what he did, scattering us among the nations of the world. It helps us in various ways. But from that charity of scattering us, there's a different kind of charity that God will do with the Jewish people when he will collect us all back together again and take us to the land of Israel. And then that will be, as it says in various places, that God will take each one of us, every single Jew by his hand, and bring him together with the Shekhinah, which is in exile. The divine presence is in exile, and we, the Jewish people, are in exile. And so when we go out of exile, the Shekhinah, the divine presence, will also go out of exile. Now, we're coming close to Lag BaOmer, which is the Yahrzeit of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and it's very famous day associated with him. And the Rebbe puts in brackets, something about Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said that every place where the Jewish people went into exile, the Shekhinah, the divine presence, went with them. And so that will be lifted up, that God will rescue, as it were, the divine presence. And he'll rescue every individual Jewish man and Jewish woman. And he'll bring all of this together to Hagu'ula Amitid Vashlema, to the full and complete redemption, but often in such a way that he won't delay us in any way, not even an eye blink, and from simcha, with joy and a happy heart. And then we will have the 10th counting. There's a whole idea of counting the Jewish people and the 9 times, and then the 10th counting will be through the Holy One, blessed be he, and Mashiach together. And that is connecting also with the next section of the Chumash, Bamidbar. In fact, for us today, the next section of the Chumash after what we read this Shabbat, which is Parshat Bahar, we will be reading Parshat Bechukotai. So it's not till the week after that we will be reading Bamidbar, but the year when this discourse was said, the next Sedra was going to be Bamidbar. And so on that day, on that Shabbat, that Sedra Bamidbar would be read at Mincha. And that whole Chumash is called, in the Mishnah and the Talmud, it's called the Chumash, the volume of the Torah, which is talking about numbers. And in fact, in English, we call it the Book of Numbers. And we call it Numbers because in it, the Jewish people are counted at the beginning of the book and various places also in the section Pinchas. So various places where the Jewish people are counted. Now, that Pinchas, there's a concept that Pinchas is actually Elijah, and he's the one who announces the redemption. And so it should be for us that we should have the 10th counting through the Holy One, blessed be he, and through Mashiach Tzidkenu, through our righteous Mashiach. And then, and from joy and a happy heart, and from a great song, singing together with musical instruments, as it says, praising God, making a beautiful song to God with this 8-string instrument. And then there will be the song with instruments, with the violin, with its 8 strings. And in addition to that, also aleasor, another kind of musical instrument, which is like a violin with 10 strings. And that should be at a moment that God will not delay us in any way, and we will just go straight into the redemption, and that should be swiftly in our days, Mama. And to that, Amen. The beautiful blessing that this discourse ends off with. So with the help of Hashem, we will meet together next Tuesday, and Bezrat Hashem, that will
be. Rabbi Tali, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Rabbi. Thank you, Sally. Rabbi Lou.
One and all, cold.